Hey there, foreigners. This is Rohit from BreakingTheBorders.com, home of the ambitious immigrants. Today's guest is Ravi Mansena. Ravi is the founder of Ninetail Studios. He was a game designer who quit his job to start a game designing company called Ninetail Studios. Ravi, welcome to Breaking the Borders podcast.
Thanks a lot.
Let me start with the money question, Ravi. So, since you guys started the Ninetail Studios, what is the revenue you guys, when did you guys start and what is the revenue you guys generated so far?
So, we started in Feb of last year. So, it's been around 1.5 years now. And we've generated around 75 lakhs in revenue till date.
I see. And that's considered fast growth. I'm not sure about in Indian context. I'm curious to know from you, what is it?
Yeah, so I mean, we've been growing pretty quickly. I mean, we started off as a team of 2, and like within 16 months, we are already a team of 12. So it's going pretty well for us right now.
Yeah. So let's talk about how you got there. But before we do that, I wanted to quickly ask you about your life before you started Ninetail Studios. You were a game designer, right?
Yeah, so I worked as a game designer for 7 years. So, I mean, I started my career actually as a quality analysis tester at FX Labs, where I was working part-time for around 6 months. And then after that, I went to Singapore to do my bachelor's in game design. So once I came back, I was working at Game Shastra for around a year. But the reason I quit Game Shastra so early was because they were focused only on working on like Bollywood movie-based games and stuff. And I didn't want to do that. So then I...
Why didn't you want to do that? Why didn't you want to do work on Bollywood
games? Because there's very little creative aspects when you're converting a movie into a game. Like, I really didn't have much work. Okay. Because the story is already there, the character line, everything has already been developed for you. We just basically showcase that in a game format.
Yeah. But before I understand what you're saying, can you just explain what is the role of a game designer in designing a game? You're not really coding the game, are you?
Yeah, so I don't do coding. So essentially what a game designer does is my job is to come up with concepts for game, new games, come up with new ideas, new gameplay mechanics, like how you do balancing, coming up with like monetization strategies, retention strategies and stuff like that.
So does it look, is it more about the strategic level, like how to, whether to have levels or something else, whether to have quests and so on, or is it more at the tactical level? How do you design this level? How do you design that level?
So actually, like to put it in simple terms, game designer, like say about movies, right? So a game designer is like a director of the movie.
Okay.
So you come up with, you make sure how each and every scene is supposed to be, you come up with the story, you tell the characters what he's supposed to do and stuff like that.
And there are like theories that you learn about what works for a game based on which you'll design, bring up with all these concepts, right? So that must be very interesting. Can you talk about one such theory that you learn in school about what works in games, which may be applicable in real life? I'm curious to know.
Yeah, so I mean, in school, they really don't teach us how, like, how we come up with concepts because they leave. So, like, the school in which I studied, right, it was only a gaming school. So, we never had, like, exams and stuff like that. So, basically, we were only graded on the game concepts that we came up with and how detailed they were.
Oh, okay, got it. So, it's by more teaching by action, which is you actually do it.
Yes, yeah, because that's what is needed in the gaming world, really, so.
Yeah. Nice. So, what got you interested in gaming?
Yeah. So, I mean, since I was a kid, right? Like, I think when I was in like 6th or 7th grade, I got my first PlayStation. And when like, when normal kids normally play on a PlayStation for like a couple of hours a day, I used to spend like 12 hours on it every day.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's all I did.
And the fascination with games is what to say, it's not very uncommon, right? Like you see people fascinated about games, but very few take it up as a career, especially in Indian context. You also had to go to Singapore because there were not many schools you mentioned earlier in India, right? So what made you move from a game enthusiast to taking games as a career?
Yeah, so actually what happened was, like after I finished 12th, a standard Indian thing, I joined an engineering college. But so while I was doing engineering, I really didn't like what I was doing. Like I didn't, it felt very pointless from my point of view. So what I did was I took up a part-time job at FX Labs where I was working as a quality analysis tester because I love playing games, but I didn't know how to develop games at all. Because it's a completely different ball game, right? So I joined as a part-time QA tester. So why I joined as a QA tester is because a quality analysis tester is supposed to know like how the game is made from end to end, and you get to interact with like the art team, the production team, the design team, everyone. So that's when I learned that, okay, this is how a game is made, and that got me interested towards design as well.
I see. They say that when you take up your passion as your career, you might lose your passion sometimes, right? So, for example, for surfers who take up surfing as teaching surfing, and they start to hate it. Like, did any of that happen in the course of your career? Did you start to like games less?
It doesn't happen as of yet. So,
okay.
I'm hoping it doesn't happen.
Okay. Let's move on. So, you were a game designer for more than 5 years, right? And just before you quit your job, what were you doing?
So I was working at this company called Epostech where I was a studio head.
Mm-hmm.
And over there, so that company made only casino related games. So we made a game called Slot Machine. So, I mean, that game had more than 40 million downloads and it was like one of the top grossing games in the world at that point.
Yeah. What is a studio head? What does a studio head do? How is it from a game designer?
So when at that point, when I became the studio head, so my responsibilities as a game designer reduced because at that point you're more like a manager, making sure you meet your deadlines and taking care of all the stuff and
basically
managing the business.
I see. As in managing the managing the cash
flow,
managing
the
team, everything. Okay. And so life seems to be good. As you were saying that your life was very, very good. You were very well paid as a game designer, right?
Yeah.
So what were you making at the time that you had to put on the side and actually start your passion of starting your own company? I was curious to know, you mentioned before that you were making very good salary as a game designer, as a studio head, which you had to put aside and take a plunge. So what was it? What do you have to give up?
So basically the thing is, so when I wanted to set up my own company, right, there's like a bunch of things I had to give up because, I had to give up my paycheck because once I get into the startup world, I can't afford to take that much salary out of my company without me having any revenue.
What was your paycheck? What were you making? Like 20 lakhs an annum, 40 lakhs an annum? What was it?
No, I was getting around 15 per annum.
15. Okay. Okay, and so that's a very comfortable salary in India to give up.
Yeah, I was living happily. I had no issues, right?
Yeah.
Because in India, that's quite a lot. Yeah. Once I move back, like I make like less than half of that right now. But all the money that we make, at least for now, 100% of it we're in reinvesting it into the company.
Yeah.
So I basically just taking like base amount for me to just survive and stuff.
I see. And what made you quit your job? Do you remember the day you quit your job?
So I decided to quit in December 25th of 2 years back.
Okay, December 25th of 2014.
Yeah.
What happened on December 25th?
So it was actually exactly December 26th was my 1 year at Epostech.
Uh-huh.
And I was at Epostech only to gain experience as a studio head because that'll help me in running the business. Because prior to that, I was just working as a game designer and I didn't know the business end of things.
I see.
So once I figured things out, I always wanted to quit. I was just there for the experience.
You had this thought in your head and did you put in your notice on December 25th or 26th?
Yes. Yeah. And then by Jan ending, I left Bangalore and came back to Hyderabad.
You came back to Hyderabad and you talked to a friend about your intentions to start your company. Then what happened?
Yeah. So actually, while I was still in Bangalore, I started talking. Like I was already in the process of setting everything up. Like we started the process in October of 2014. And so like what used to happen was every Friday I used to drive down to Hyderabad and go back on Monday morning and stuff like that. So as soon as I came back, like I think I came back like second or third week of Jan to Hyderabad. Uh-huh. And then Feb 2nd was the first year of my company in 2015.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And what was the first thing you did for setting up the company, after you set up the company, what was the first project that you took up?
Yeah, so the first, so when I started my company, right, my initial goal was to work on my own products and launch my own games, which I really like to play and which I thought the people will like to play, right? So we started working on this game called Guardians of the Dark. But then, like say within a couple of months, I had to put that game on hold because I had to take up client projects to keep the revenue flowing and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
What was the first project that you took up?
Yeah, so the first project was this app called Q-Tickets from a company in SMS country.
Mm-hmm.
So basically it's a movie ticket booking based app for Qatar. So I mean, how I got the project was, so a friend of mine works at that company. And so what happened was he just showcased me the app and he said, just take a look at it and give me your feedback about the user flow and all that. So at that point, I really didn't like the app. Like I thought it could be made much better.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat with my artists, my developers and all, and we recreated the entire app like within a month. I went and I pitched it to them and they really liked what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And so they gave me that project to recreate their entire app, and that's how I got my first project.
Wow, that's a pretty bold move in some ways, right? Because you're not making any money and you're not even sure if you'll get the customer. You don't know if they're going to pay you to do anything. What made you take that step?
I mean, because like when I first looked at the app, I felt like with my experience and the art that I could show, I was like 100% sure that I could improve the user flow and make So that's why I did it, and hopefully they liked it, otherwise it would have
gone there. No, but being able to do a better product is one thing that I'm not doubtful, right? For sure, many of the service providers, for example, know a better way to do a certain thing. But actually going through the effort of 1 month sitting your artist, sitting with your coder and developing the whole app is like an advanced move. Where do you learn it, or how do you come up with it?
I know, because at that point, I had to take a risk on something because I had to start generating revenue immediately, right? So otherwise, I'd have had issues for my payrolls and all of that. And so I had to take a risk at some point. And when you first enter the market, like 2015, the app and game world was already so saturated, right? There's so many companies who do this. So for me to get a client with no portfolio and all, I had to do something.
So I see. It was kind of desperate times.
Yeah.
So you took up that client and you had few more clients through to 2015. But there were some struggling times towards the end also, right? So tell us about the time when you ran out of money in end of the year.
Yeah. So the issue what happened was, so we started doing a lot of client projects. And so what was happening was, so like at the first of, like say the last week of the month, they pay me, and then the first that money is out because I pay salaries to my employees and overheads and all of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then during this phase, like I never want to delay any client projects, and also if I take up a project, I make sure it's my first preference. So what was happening was my game Guardians of the Dark, which we were working on, and the other titles such as Word 4, I had to put them on hold because I didn't have the resources to work on them. Like we were a very small team at that point. So once the client projects ran out, like say in 9 to 10 months, I had no money to do my payrolls and all of that, which was because, and at that point my projects were like half done, and so I couldn't even launch them to start generating revenue.
And since you were starting, the price point was lower, it seems like. So
yes,
the,
it wasn't stupid.
Yeah, but the looks like all the money that client was paying was just cost.
Yes, yeah. So I actually never made a profit and stuff. So it was just to pay off my payroll and stuff at that point.
Oh, and that is why they were even coming to you in spite of heavy gaming competition.
Yeah. But in a way, like if I look back at it now, right, it helps me because like now I have a decent portfolio built up of around 5 games and around 7 to 8 applications done. So like today I can charge a decent price and
now you can do the premium. But it was tell us about the time when you ran out of money. Like what is running out of money? You said you were using some of your savings, right? So what was it?
Yeah, so basically like to do my payrolls and stuff, I started using some of my savings.
What was you saying? How much did you save when you started your company actually?
So initially I had 15 lakhs saved up.
Uh-huh.
Then once that ran out, my partner put in another 15 lakhs. Then we ran out of that as well.
Wow.
And at that point, we were, because what happened was it became very hard for me to get a client.
Mm-hmm.
Like for like in a gap of like 3 months, I had no clients, and I didn't want to shut down my company obviously in 8 months, because I didn't even get to do what I actually wanted to do with my company. I didn't even make one game until then. So then we started aggressively looking for funding, and then luckily we got funding as well. So
yeah, what, tell us about that. How did that happen? How do you get funding?
Yeah, so basically what we did was, there's a national game developer conference that happens in India every year in November. Last year it was in Pune, and we drove down to Pune, we put up a stall, we showcased our products and everything. So over there, one company was very interested in us. And so and that company was luckily based out of Hyderabad. So once we came back, we had a couple of meetings with them. But that meeting, it didn't go so well with them, because they wanted a very high stake in the company since we didn't even have one game out. But they really liked the product that we were doing and stuff. Because the
main product you're talking about,
Guardians of the Dark, my games.
I see.
Because the major selling point for my games was that we had a tie-up with two guys called Nick Plot and Dan Stemskoski. So these two guys are based out of Korea, and they're basically gamers. They're basically like commentators for gaming events in Korea. And they have their own TV shows on ESPN and on Yahoo and stuff like that. Like, they are weekly shows. So I have a tie-up with them, saying that they're going to market my products all over the world, because they have a fan following of more than like 5 million on social media and stuff, which is a big deal for me.
How do you find them? How do you start partnering with them?
So I sent him a tweet on Twitter, and he responded. So I have no idea why he replied back to me also.
Oh, you just sent him a tweet saying, what did the tweet say? What are those golden words?
I just said, hey, we're working on this game, and I just like to talk to you about it. Because it's only one character, 140 characters, right? Yeah. I can't even send him like a big message.
Yeah.
And then he replied saying, I'd love to hear about it. Then we had like a 1 hour call. I pitched the entire game to him, and he really loved the concept. And they decided to partner with us for that game.
Can you tell at a high level what the game's concept is?
So Guardians of the Dark is a massive online battle arena. So we'll be launching the game with 10 characters. Okay, so when you talk about a MOBA, right, like a traditional MOBA like League of Legends or Dota, so these games normally last around 40 to 45 minutes. And they're like a bunch of gameplay mechanics where you have to kill creeps first, collect gold, buy items, and then kill the opponent's base to win. So basically what we did was, we wanted to create a MOBA similar to League of Legends or Dota, but at the same time we wanted to reduce the gameplay time to less than 5 minutes. So because we wanted to do it on mobile, and we don't think people will sit, play one game, one session for 45 minutes on a mobile. So what we did was, we removed like a bunch of gameplay elements. So like in a traditional MOBA, what happens is whenever your character does a skill on an enemy character, you do damage to him. And so like say you have 100 health, your job is to do like say 3 skills on him. Each skill does like say 30, 30, 40 or something, and you kill him. But what we did was, so we created like a circular battle arena, like a floating island, which is like, and below the island is like filled with lava and stuff. So we have like 7 to 8 different levels. So our skills, instead of doing damage, they knock the opponent back, or they do crowd control. So what crowd control means is like they'll stun you at your position for a while, or they'll slow your movement speed down, or they put you to sleep and stuff. So your goal in this game is to knock people out of the arena and score points.
Got it. And you're trying to like shut down or contract what it takes on a desktop, on a traditional game for 45 minutes. Because you have to fit it on a mobile, you have to get it to 5 minutes. And because you have to get it to 5 minutes, you're coming up with this other strategy. Instead of 3 strikes, let's do it in 1 strike. Instead of killing, let's do stunning. And you try to adapt the game to the mobile and the short time frame. So when you... so you got funding. How much funding did you get?
So we got 1 crore in funding in India.
Apart from getting the funding, you also got more clients in early 2016, which paid you well, right? So tell us about that.
I mean, in 2015 we had Muhammad Ali and Pele, which were two clients which we were working on. So we did only the coding for them. which went well. So right now I'm working on a couple of projects. So we're building an app for a Dubai-based client. And then we're making one game for a client in Mauritius. And then we're also building one app for a client in Sweden right now. So thanks to the funding that we got, I was able to hire more resources.
Uh-huh.
And so other than doing client work, I'm also working on my own projects because I don't want to do the same mistake again.
I see. When do you plan to launch your game?
Yeah, so my first game, we're going to launch it on the 1st of next month. And then, which is called Word 4. And then Guardians of the Dark, you're planning to launch it on the March of next month, next year, sorry.
March of 2017.
Yeah.
I see. We'll watch out for that. And whenever you launch it, if you send me a note, I'll leave the link in the show notes as well. What is the team now? Well, you started with you and your co-founder, but what is the team?
So currently it's me, my co-founder, and then the investors. So investor is this guy, his name, he's called Chetan, he's from China. And then other than that, I have four programmers right now. Then I have two UI artists, one sound engineer, one 2D and special effects animator, and I have three 3D artists as well.
Totally about 12 members.
Yeah, 12 guys, yeah.
What are your plans for future? You mentioned on the game side, right, Ravi? You mentioned you want to launch the Word 4 in next year. And we are almost at the end of next month. Sorry, next month Word 4 and next year, which is another 5 months. You want to launch your signature game, which is the Guardians of the Angel.
It's called Guardians of the Dark.
Oh, Guardians of the Dark. My bad. Guardians of the Dark as well. But what are your other plans besides your gaming projects?
So other than this, basically what I did is, this year in March, I was in US to attend the Game Developer Conference. So after attending that, like, I was staying with my sister for a week and stuff in Houston. So me and my sister, actually, we started set up another company in US called Froto. So Froto is essentially an advertising channel. So like how we came up with the idea is actually very funny. So my sister and her husband were planning to buy a house. And so when I was there, we were just looking around places and stuff. So
yeah. Where is this in Texas?
Yeah.
Where is this in Texas?
In Houston.
In Houston. Okay.
Yeah. I was just helping her look at places, and because I had nothing to do there for like a week when I was there. So one day I just opened one random drawer in her kitchen, and it had like more than like 150, 200 coupons that she got, and she like almost all of them were expired, which she never used. So then what happened was So I asked my sister, what are you doing with this? Why is it there? She's like, everyone in US has it. Because I didn't know about that, because in India, we normally never get coupons and stuff. So then I started thinking like, okay, what can we do to make sure people actually start using these coupons? And so make it easy for a user to actually use these coupons, which they get on a daily basis. And then what happened was, so when we went to the house that my sister is buying, so there was a wall there which was filled with photos, like, a wall. It was just like a bunch of photos, like around 30-40 photos in single frames put on the wall, right? It suddenly clicked, like me and my sister were talking about it, and it suddenly clicked that behind the photo, if he could print this coupon and like say if he could ship. So basically what Froto does is, so you can download the app, which is available now. You can upload your photos onto the app. So we will print it and ship it to your house completely for free. So, but how we generate revenue is behind every photo, we print coupons. And then the coupons company pay us for the printing, and that's how we generate revenue.
I see. And how is that going, Froto, so far?
Very well, actually. So we just launched 3 months back. So we are doing, we're just starting our first trial run with Sears and Macy's. And we're also talking with Royal Caribbean Cruise right now. So Froto is doing pretty well, actually, better than my company.
What about the users?
So Froto, we currently have around 8,000 users.
And all of it through organic means. How did you do
Yeah,
to
so
get the
some of
users?
the users were given to us by CEOs because we were doing a marketing run for them. And then, so initially, we got around 1,000 users thanks to like social media marketing and stuff, and then the word slowly spread.
I see. So, Froto, is there anything else about Froto that you want to talk about before I ask you like few more
No,
fun
that's about
questions?
it, so.
Yeah, so I will leave a link to Froto as well, the App Store link,
Yeah,
and the
I'll send you
Android
the
link,
link, yeah.
and the Android link for people who want to download it. What advice do you have for others who are starting their own companies, Ravi?
So advice for people who want to make games, right? So the one thing I'd like to say is never work on a game that you would personally like to play. Try to work on a game that caters to a larger audience. Because that is something I learned like the hard way. Yeah, because like say the games that I personally play, right? So when I'm developing a game like that, I just make it so I like it a lot and stuff, but I don't think about the broader audience. Like, okay, I like it, so I'm guessing everyone else in the world will like it,
Yeah.
but
So
things don't work that.
you mentioned you learned it the hard way. Is there a game that you really liked, you
Yeah, so
developed
I
it
was
fake?
working. Yeah, so I mean, so I used to play a lot of real-time strategy games. And I still do actually, I'm a very big fan of real-time
What's
strategy
a real-time
games.
strategy game? Can you give an example?
Like say Age of Empires,
Age of
StarCraft
Empires.
2,
I see.
stuff like that,
I see. So you are building like a village, or you're building a city, or you're building something,
yeah.
and you are
Yeah.
the like the
You
god who's
collect
building all this stuff.
resources, make an army, go and attack your opponent and capture their base and stuff like that. So I was very heavily influenced by that because that's what I love doing. And I mean, those are the games that I actually like. But since I'm working on mobile, right, I cannot actually make a real-time strategy game. It just doesn't work because the mobile doesn't provide, it doesn't have a keyboard and mouse.
Yeah.
Get what I'm saying? It has a lot of limitations when compared to while making a PC game. So initially I wasted almost like 45 days working on that, and then I realized that and we decided to scrap it.
And that's when the Guardians of the Dark came about, where you came up with
Yes.
the shorter.
That's when I started thinking about, okay, this is what I like, but to make it for mobile, okay, I have to do these like 30 other things to make it work for mobile. It's not like I can't just do this.
You mentioned you used to work or you used to play for 12 hours a day. How many hours a day do you get to play now?
So I make sure I play at least 1 to 2 hours a day daily.
Oh,
So
really?
basically,
Okay, that's
yeah.
good.
So I just basically what I do is like earlier I used to make sure like every game I play I finish it and I beat the best hardest difficulty and stuff. Now I just play on like medium or easy difficulty just to see like what gameplay mechanics are using, like how the game is, and just to understand the game.
Do you play different games, or you get play same games over and
I
over?
play almost every game that comes out now just to learn and understand.
Oh, what's your recent
So
favorite in the last like 3 4 months? What's been your favorite?
currently I'm playing two games. I'm playing Overwatch and World of Warcraft Legion, which just came out. Yeah, so I'm just playing those for now, but I'm planning to play Titanfall 2 and Battlefield 1 soon.
You're inspiring me to get started and playing games again. I used to be a big game buff in my 10th grade. I played all levels of Commandos, Destination Berlin, and Age of Empires, and so on, but I haven't played in a decade almost, so I'm itching to get back. So, Ravi, if someone who is listening to us wants to connect with you, what is the best way for them to contact you?
So I think they can just send me a mail, because I can directly respond to them.
What's your email?
It's ravi@ninetailstudios.com.
Yeah, I will leave it in the show notes as well. Ravi, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for tuning in. To get updates on latest episodes, make sure you subscribe with your email by going over to breakingtheborders.com. If you know anyone good as a guest, shoot me an email. I will reach out to the guest, get hold of them, and ask them all the questions that you have. My email is rohit@breakingtheborders.com. Thanks again and have an amazing day.